Yes, this is Pastor Emery with the third in this series examining the preaching of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. It is rather common today to hear ministers and evangelists announcing some great work in which they are engaged and then urge their listeners to send money right away for such a work because there is only a short time left. Jesus is coming soon, perhaps this week or this month or next year. So the listener is not only urged to give, but to do it immediately. The request is urgent, and the urgency is based on the imminent return of Jesus from the heavens. Last week we read several passages in the Bible which show that this type of preaching is not authorized by the Bible. In fact, it is specifically warned against by Paul, and Jesus Christ even told us Christians were not to follow anyone who preached in that manner. For new listeners, I'll review those passages briefly, and then we'll go on with other passages about Jesus' return, so we can see what the truth is about His second coming, not from man's traditions, but from God's Word itself. We read some of Matthew 24, where Jesus warned that men would come in His name and would deceive many. Then Mark 13, where a great tribulation likewise is prophesied, and then we are told Jesus' second coming will be, quote, after that tribulation, unquote. If you will read all of Matthew 24, all of Mark 13, and all of Luke 21, you will see it is quite plain that Jesus Christ is not coming before the tribulation therein prophesied, but after that tribulation. Let's read in Mark 13, where He had prophesied of tribulation in the first verses, then in verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall He send His angels, and shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. There is the gathering of the elect, often erroneously called the rapture of the believers, but that gathering is after the tribulation of the end of this age. Many of you older Christians perhaps remember Oswald J. Smith of Toronto, Canada. Pastor Smith had a great church and one of the largest individual missionary works in the world. I believe at one time his church alone supported 300 foreign missionaries. Oswald Smith taught the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine for many years. Then one day, as he was preparing a sermon in Matthew 24, he read verse 29, 30, and 31, which are practically identical to the verses I just read in Mark 13, and he wrote later, quote, I was astonished to realize that here was the gathering of the Christians described in vivid detail and plainly stated it was to be after the tribulation of those days. Oswald J. Smith then did a study on the rapture and wrote a tract describing how he himself had been fooled by this doctrine for many years. Here is a quote from that tract written many years ago. Quote, I was firmly convinced that there would be no rapture before the tribulation, and that I had done wrong in promising the church an escape instead of preparing her for the terrible ordeal that must most surely be awaited. My any moment theory of Christ's return could not be sustained, end of quote. In that tract, Oswald Smith reveals to his readers how he learned that the so-called rapture doctrine had first been taught in 1830 in England by a John Darby after a woman in the congregation claimed to have had a vision of Jesus coming back to earth and catching away all the believers, taking them to heaven and leaving the earth in great sorrow and distress. So the pre-tribulation rapture is not a revelation from the Bible, but from a supposed vision by a woman in 1830. Perhaps that is why Paul said he would not allow a woman to speak in the church and warn Christians of old wives' tales and fables. I have known this story of Oswald J. Smith for some years, but had not been able to obtain a copy of his tract until just recently. Now it has been reprinted and is available. We have it, and it is in our new packet of literature for February. You may have this tract by writing to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Just ask for the February packet of literature. I do believe millions of American Christians are beginning to question the so-called rapture theory. They can see the increase in crime, the corruption of our nation, the torture and murder of millions of professing Christians in other lands, the obvious anti-Christian bias of our own rulers, and that of the rulers of most of the other nations of the world, and some are beginning to question their own ministers, who teach that Christians will not go through tribulation. This tract will give you one man's thoughts as he found out the pre-tribulation rapture, which he had been taught in the seminary, was false. Along with that, we will send you in the February packet an article on how the Russians are probably causing the terrible rain and cold and snow which is covering much of the United States. They are using space-age techniques, techniques known to our own government but kept secret from our people, techniques which cause huge masses of frigid Arctic air to move south over Canada and the United States. It is done by what is called electromagnetic transmission. It requires the transmission of unbelievably powerful electromagnetic waves over the northern hemisphere. The Russians can do this more effectively now, since a few years ago, President James Earl Carter approved the shipment to Russia of the world's largest electromagnet, a magnet which can produce over 1,000 times the electromagnetic force of the Earth itself. In that act, as in all other acts of the U.S. rulers, from giving the Panama Canal to a known communist, to preparing to send massive aid to the Red Butchers of China, to the betrayal of Christian Rhodesia and South Africa, the U.S. rulers are plainly on the side of the Red Bolsheviks and against the Christians of the world. Weather control may sound like Buck Rogers, but we are nearly in the 21st century, and there is no question but that the enemies of America and of Christendom will use any method at their disposal to bring down Western Christian civilization. You folks in the North, who are being hit with the same kind of weather that you experienced in the winter of 1976 and 77, although it perhaps is now worse and may last longer, you should write to us for this Russian weather control information. You might even realize it, too, is a part of the tribulation of those days, for we are in that time of tribulation, and any minister who tries to tell you otherwise is a liar, a fool, or both. My address again is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the February Literature Packet. There are some other things in there, of course, including a list of our other tracts and books and a catalog of over 100 Bible studies on cassette tapes. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Back to the Bible, about the second coming of Jesus. Turn to Luke 21, where Jesus commanded us not to follow men who taught that his coming was near. The disciples had asked in verse 7, "Master, when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" Jesus answered, "Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Jesus knew that men would make merchandise of Christians by promising them the time of Jesus' return was near. Jesus said, if they did, go ye not after them. Don't follow or give honor or tithe to a man who tries to capitalize on Jesus' return. The teaching of the pre-tribulation rapture is just such a false teaching. They shout it in a thousand different ways. Jesus may come tonight. He may come next week. Jesus will come any day now. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Give your tithes and offerings to the work today. Get your dues paid. Prove your faith. Write that check. Jesus is coming soon, and on and on and on. Jesus said, if they preach that way, go ye not therefore after them. As we saw last week, there are over a half dozen places in the New Testament alone where Jesus made it plain that no man could know the time of Jesus' return. Turn to Acts 3, where Peter, in explaining Jesus' mission and future, said this. Acts 3, beginning in verse 19 through 21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Peter knew, as did all the disciples, that Jesus must remain in the heaven until the time came to restore all things. None of the disciples ever taught any such thing as Jesus coming back to salvage a few souls off the earth and retreat to the heavens while the wicked were given rule over the planet. Now let us examine a few more passages which will shed light on the subject of Jesus' return. Since the first teaching of the pre-tribulation rapture came via a supposed vision, many claim other things of the future are also revealed by visions and dreams. In fact, many self-professed prophets today claim God reveals future events to them directly instead of revealing them in His Word. Turn with me to the last chapter of Romans. Paul is closing the letter, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So here he calls things pertaining to Jesus a mystery, being revealed, but how are they revealed? Verse 26, But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets. So whatever it is which was being revealed, according to Paul, was being revealed by the scriptures of the prophets. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul quotes Isaiah 64:4, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Then in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And here some say, see, God's Spirit revealed to me in a vision, or in a dream, or the Spirit spoke to me and said, and so on and so on. But they are misusing the passage. It says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, even the deep things of God. Well, what are the deep things of God? I'll tell you what they are. His Word, the Law, and the Prophets. How are the things revealed which God hath prepared for them that love Him? By the Spirit opening your understanding of the Word of God. Not by visions, not by dreams, not by special revelations. That is what the false prophets claim. In order to exalt themselves above you and to give themselves the glory of knowing something you supposedly don't know. They claim God speaks to them directly. No, God speaks by His Word through the Spirit. God's will, His way, His plans are all in His Word. The future is already written in the Bible, and it is now being revealed. Using the rapture as an example, many claim, oh, that was not revealed in past ages. It is a new revelation. But what do the prophets say will happen to believers at the end of this age? Turn to Daniel 7. Here is a prophecy of the great Antichrist world power at the end of the age. Daniel writes in verse 21 of Daniel 7, "And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." The rapture teachers say this little horn is the Antichrist, and they say the Antichrist will rule after the Christians leave the earth. But Daniel says that horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. In verse 25, still speaking of the little horn, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." The prophet Joel writes of a world force which can easily be seen to be world communism. He describes their conquest of nations in chapter 2, and then shows God's deliverance of His people from that Antichrist force, not by taking the believers out of the world, but by answering their prayer in Joel 2:17 and destroying their enemies. In Amos 9, God prophesies in verse 11, "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen." That is a reference to the return of Jesus to sit on the throne of David. But in the verse before it, there is a warning that rapture teachers should note. Verse 10 of Amos 9, "All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us." The rapturists are preaching that the evil will not overtake Christians. God Almighty says that all of those who say that will themselves die by the sword. One obvious contradiction in the rapture theory has to do with the state of the dead. Most rapturists teach that Christians who have already died are now alive in heaven. But they then read 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18 to teach the rapture. In it they read in verse 16 and 17, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. But if the dead in Christ are already in heaven, why do they have to rise again from their graves here on the earth to be taken to heaven the second time?" That would make two trips to heaven, one when they died, one at the rapture, with no return to earth in between. The contradiction is solved, of course, with the simple truth that none are now in heaven. The dead are asleep in the grave. That very passage itself uses the word sleep or asleep three times, and the word dead once, to describe those who have already died before Jesus returns. These so-called rapture verses in 1 Thessalonians 4 are nothing more nor less than resurrection verses. They describe the resurrection of the dead on the earth, not any transfer of the living and the dead to heaven. It even gives the location of the meeting with Christ as in the clouds and in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Clouds and air are here on the earth, not off up in heaven. The word heaven is not even in the passage, yet millions of deluded Christians actually believe that passage prophesies a secret transfer to heaven. If you will turn to 1 Corinthians 15, the well-known resurrection chapter, we read in verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." The next verse tells when all shall be made alive, verse 23. "But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. When are men made alive again? At their death? No, at Christ's coming. So 1 Thessalonians 4 is but a repeat of 1 Corinthians 15. It is a passage of the real hope of the believer, the resurrection, not the rapture. Now, getting back to the imminency of Christ's return. Once we see that there is no such thing as a pre-tribulation removal of the believers, then Jesus' return can only be that one-time second return, the return when he comes to take rule over the earth. In that case, all is not in readiness for Jesus' return. Much awaits to be done. Much prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. One thing which must happen before Jesus' return, we discussed last week. That is the revelation of the man of sin. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 4, Paul writes that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering under him cannot come except there come a falling away first and that man of sin be revealed. You may argue that the falling away has taken place, but how many Christians know who or what the man of sin is? Until he is revealed, Jesus cannot come. How about Revelation 17, 18, and 19? Jesus' return is described in Revelation 19, but before that happens, in Revelation 17, we read of a wicked entity called Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She killed so many Christians, John writes in verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. As the vision progresses, Revelation 18 foretells her complete and total destruction. Verse 8, she shall be utterly burned with fire. Verse 19, for in one hour is she made desolate. Verse 21, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Then, after all of that, comes Revelation 19, describing the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. In verse 13, that coming one is called the Word of God, and verse 16, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This can be nothing but the return of Jesus Christ after the destruction of Mystery Babylon. Has Mystery Babylon yet been destroyed? No. Mystery Babylon still rules all nations, just as the angel told John 1900 years ago in Revelation 17 and verse 18. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. In Revelation 19, before Jesus returns, we read in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. How can the wife of the Lamb be ready for the marriage when most of them are preparing not for a marriage ceremony with Jesus upon the earth, but instead are preparing for a non-existent space ride into the heavens? No, my friends, no man should preach the imminent return of Christ. Ministers should instead be preaching the truth of Bible prophecy, that all of these things must yet come to pass, the Scriptures must be fulfilled, and then cometh the end. Until they get rid of that false doctrine of the rapture, they cannot preach the truth of Jesus' return. That error must go first. Then with truth will come the destruction of Babylon. With truth will come the revelation of the man of sin. With truth will come the preparing of the bride for the marriage, and then the return of Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things. This is Pastor Emery. For those who would like a much longer and more detailed study proving the pre-tribulation rapture is false, I have two cassette tapes titled, The Pre-Tribulation Rapture, Is It True or Is It False Doctrine? You can have those two cassette tapes for an offering of $5 to this radio ministry. Ask for the cassette tapes on the rapture. Remember to write for the February packet the article on Soviet weather warfare, which indicates that it is rather certain we are under attack from Russia, with the weather being modified as a weapon against America. Another sign we are in the tribulation. You'll also receive a copy of Oswald J. Smith's tract, Tribulation or Rapture, Which? In it, he tells how, after many years of teaching the rapture, he found it really wasn't in the Bible after all. Smith was honest enough to publicly admit his error. On the other hand, I have talked to rapture ministers who, in private conversation with me, admitted they knew the rapture doctrine was false, but they go right on teaching it anyway because people like it, it is comforting to the faint of heart, and they come to hear it. Next week, God willing, I am going to comment on some of the current happenings in the world, including Carter's recognition and aid to Red China. Then we'll begin our study of heaven, hell, and so stay with me and have your Bible handy. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.